The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This is often considered some of the harshest verses in Scripture. It's hard to hear Jesus call another human being a dog. Those words sit with us in a very, very specific kind of way. And so these verses are hard to hear. And over the centuries, they've been interpreted in different ways. Some say that Jesus learned something in this exchange with the woman. Some say that this was a test, that she was that Jesus was testing the woman. A third one that I've heard just recently is that maybe Jesus is actually speaking what is on the heart of his disciples. And that one, that interpretation, is the one that scares me the most. Because if Jesus is speaking what is on his disciples' hearts, then what keeps Jesus from speaking what's on my heart to others? I think the reason why you can follow this kind of logic, this path of thought, is that when Jesus explains this disciple to his disciples this parable, he says it's what comes out of the mouth that proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes all the evil intentions, and there's the list there for you to read. He says it's not all the things they've been worried about all this time. It's not about eating with unwashed hands that makes you unclean. It's the things that come out of your heart that make you unclean. I know that some of you listened to my reflection on Mount Pisgah yesterday, and I started my reflection on Mount Pisgah with a confession. Friday was a long day. My nephew got married. And I was here at 8 o'clock in the morning to start setting stuff up for a 6 o'clock in the evening wedding. And I arrived at the church, and things weren't as I wanted them to be. I'm not going to say more than that, because here's one of the other things we do when we commit sin, is we love to tell the story, and we love to tweak it just enough that we can sound like we we reacted in the way we should have. So I'm not going to tell you what exactly happened, because I didn't react the way I should have. And I'm confessing that sin, and I don't want to justify it. So I'm not going to tell you any more about it. But to say that in that moment, I broke a commandment. I bore false witness against my neighbor, because I interpreted what somebody else had done not in a positive light at all. And so then you read this gospel, and it convicts you at another level. Because, yes, there are the things that we say out loud. There are the things that are heard by other people that are harmful. There are words that we use all the time in our society, words that are harmful. And one of the things that we do is something that Jesus does here in this place. We use words that are dehumanizing. Because it seems easier on some level that if we can dehumanize, then it's not so bad what we say about whoever we dehumanized. And so we use words like alien. I think that's a dehumanizing word because it allows us to think things about somebody who we label an alien. Just so you don't think I'm talking about one side of the aisle, you also can't call an entire political party a basket full of deplorables. That's a way of dehumanizing an entire group of people. And so we have this issue in our world that if I want to say something about you in a way that's harmful, if I can dehumanize you first, then I don't have to feel as guilty about it. And one of the things that is pointed out in our scripture this morning, it's pointed out in the reading from Isaiah. And I added in some verses that the lectionary had taken out. Because there were two groups of people in that reading from Isaiah who were welcomed into the temple that had not been welcomed in previously. One group being eunuchs and the other group being foreigners. Welcomed in, and not only just welcomed in, but the eunuchs are told they're going to have a prominent place in the temple moving forward. They weren't considered whole humans by most of society. So they were kept at arm's length, kept on the outside. But in that reading from Isaiah, we are told that they are welcomed fully into the worshiping house of God. And so maybe here in the gospel, it's at least possible that Jesus is speaking the words that are on his disciples' hearts. And we see it from their own mouth. The disciples kept saying to Jesus, urging him, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." You know, send her away, Jesus. She's being a nuisance. Tell her to go away and leave. There's nothing here for her to see or to have. But even if Jesus is speaking what is on his disciples' heart, I think it's as important to point out the faith of this woman. Because when you have a whole group of men in Jesus' day telling you to go away, you best leave. Because you have no place of power or privilege to even speak to those men. But she is persistent in a way that she will not turn away from what she needs. And I think any mother knows this. I think any father knows this. When your kids are hurting, you're going to do whatever you can to stop that hurt. If it's something you can control, you're going to control it. And so in this moment, we have a woman, a Canaanite woman, who knows that her daughter is being tormented. And she knows that Jesus is the one who can heal her daughter. And so in that moment, there is no obstacle that will stand in her way. There is no insult that will make her turn away. There is nothing that can be said that will keep her from getting what she's looking for, or at least asking for it over and over. She comes first, and she kneels in front of Jesus and says, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And then Jesus makes this exchange with her. He says it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But she says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And here's a little aside of the culture at the time. It was pretty uncommon for Jewish people to own dogs, but it was very common for Greek people to own dogs. So she understood something about this imagery in a way that the Jewish people hearing this wouldn't understand it, because she knew that you slip some food to the dogs under the table. So she knew that even in this argument, she had her place. It's after this exchange that Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. And this becomes another time in the gospel where we learn often that it's a foreigner, that it's someone that's considered on the outside, that it's someone that's not considered part of the group that understands exactly who Jesus is. If you think back just 1 week ago, you have Peter leaving the boat. You have the disciples afraid because they think Jesus is a ghost. That's a funny word slip. They think Jesus is a ghost. And, Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking to him, gets distracted by what's happening around him, and begins to sink. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get to hear again about Peter. And one time he's going to get it right, and the next time he's going to get it completely wrong. Yet throughout the Gospels, it often seems that it's those on the outside who see it most clear, that understand it in a way that those on the inside struggle to figure out and to understand. And I honestly think that's true in our world as well. Sometimes I learn more about what it means to be a person of faith from people who we might say don't have faith, because they can teach me a way of looking at the world that I haven't been looking in a way that I haven't been looking at the world. And sometimes they call me on the things that I might be doing wrong in my own life. And those voices are important, to us as well. And so I think one of the things that we walk away from this gospel recognizing is that there are times that we say things that we shouldn't say to another human being. We say things about another human being that we shouldn't say. In those moments, we ask forgiveness. We ask forgiveness because that's what we're supposed to do. We recognize that we have sinned and we ask for God's forgiveness. But I think this gospel pushes us just a little bit farther. When we join together at the beginning of worship and we confess our sins, it's not just those sins that passed out of our lips, but it's those sins that we hold deep inside. And I think the truth is that every single one of us holds some kind of sin deep in our heart. And we all have different kinds. We all have different things. We have issues with racism in our world. It might be that. We have issues with classism. Maybe it's that. We have issues with even relationships between men and women. Maybe it's that. There's all kinds of things that it might be. But the thing, I guess, that scares me most is, what if Jesus was standing here and laid bare for you what's deep in my heart sometimes? And so I think what's important for all of us to remember is that without God's love, without God's grace, without God's mercy, we would be stuck with whatever is in our heart. But thanks be to God that God sets us free from those things that bind us, that God removes the things that would keep us separated from others. And the truth of the matter is, we will keep asking from maybe not our first breath, because we don't know we need to ask yet, but until the very last breath we take, we'll keep asking for that forgiveness. Because it seems like every time we root one thing out of our heart, something else wants to find its way in. And so we keep returning to Jesus, needing to know that he is the one who forgives our sins, that he is the one who sets us free. But it starts with something important. It starts at first with that admission. It starts with our own standing bare before God and saying, I know that I have sinned. I know that I have fallen short. And so, God, I need you to forgive my sins. And what I think is important for you to hear is I also know a lot of people that carry around sin that they're pretty sure God could never forgive. So if you're somebody who's carrying around something that happened maybe years ago, maybe whenever, but you're pretty sure that God isn't big enough to forgive that sin, God isn't big enough to remove that sin from you, remember this persistent mother in the gospel today. Remember this persistent mother who would not stop asking. Who would not stop asking until she heard the answer that she needed. And if you are holding some of that sin so far deep down inside, go forth with that persistence to finally let go what is holding you down, what's holding you back, what's holding your heart heavy. So that when we come together in a little while, when we join together in Holy Communion, when we receive Christ's body and blood, we can hear those words with clarity that this body, this blood is given for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And it's the truth. Whether you can fully believe it or not, it's the truth. And it's the truth that is available to you whenever we gather here. Amen.